This is Pastor Greg Cumby from Our Savior Lutheran Church, 2800 Millwood Pike, Winchester, Virginia, and we welcome you to our weekly broadcast here on News Talk 1400.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy help and salvation. Join the full throng, wake harp and psalter and song. Sound forth in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, who as on wings of an eagle uplifteth, sustaineth. Hast thou not seen desires all have been granted in what He ordained. Praise to the Lord, who hath fearfully, wondrously made thee. Health hath vouchsafed, and when heedlessly falling hath saved. What need or grief ever hath failed of relief, rings of His mercy did shake thee. Praise to the Lord, who doth prosper thy work and defend thee, who from the heavens the streams of mercy doth send thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, who with His love doth befriend thee. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore. People again, gladly for they we adore Him.
Thanks to the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Anybody who's lived for more than a minute, I think, knows what it's like to have a word that disappoints them, a word of comfort that seems to fall away. It's just a lack of having what we need. Even the newest child, fresh from the womb, is crying when he meets the cold of the air or wants the food from his mother's breast. It's one of those things. We all know what it's like. People tell us things. They promise us things. And things don't always follow through. We know what it's like to have words that just don't always work. We know what it's like to be left out. Today, in this very familiar gospel lesson, we see and we know, right, the point of this hiding. There's Mary at Jesus' feet, like a student should be, hearing God's word and waiting on what He has to say. There's Mary, and we all should be like this, right? In the church, sit down, and let's move on. Well, not so quick. Because there's something for us here, as we contemplate this well-known scene, and it's not just in the gospel, but it's there beautifully in the Old Testament lesson. And what we should be picking up from this is that God's word is a word on which we can wait. It's a word on which we can hope. It's a word that we can count as sure, because our God's word is a God that's always true. It always does what it promises. It's a wonderful word. That's why we should value it. It's a life-giving word. That's why we should honor it. By His word, all things were created, right? By His word, all things came into being. By His word, He speaks life into each one of us as we go through the waters of the baptismal font. And He says, I put my name upon you. His word does wonderful work. And each time you come here, every Sunday or midweek service, it doesn't matter what, it's always focused around that life-giving word. We hear it read to the lectern. We hear the gospel proclaimed to us. We see that word at work amongst us. We hear the word and it's applied to bread and wine. And after that application, we don't merely just say, well, that was nice. We say, truly present with us as Christ. And we sing in the Agnus Dei, Christ, Lamb of God, have mercy upon us as we're welcoming our saving Lord, our Lord of a word. This is what we live by. It's what makes the church. By that word, the church is formed, called, formed, fashioned, and empowered, and it goes about its duties. And so we should be people who receive the word. And again, done deal, right? Hang on, sir. Because the problem is, although we say these things about God's word, we don't always live up to that truth that we confess as we look into our lives. God's word, if it's truly what we value above all things, well, then we'll do God's word. We'll find our way not into our own lives of sin, but we do His word ourselves. Well, at least that's what we should do, right? And of course, we all know the problem is that we're all born with sin. That God's word, as great as it is, and as wonderful as it is, and as powerful as we confess it to be, is still the word that, well, what, as we just sang in the hymn, it's the word that Satan wants to come into and take away from us. But instead of being people who are without the word, we should be people living that life that conforms to God's will, and that being clinging to His word above all things. And yet, as I said, the word is absolutely reliable. Every time we sin, we're telling God, yeah, I know what your word says, but this is what I'm. Every time we follow into the ways of the world, we're leaving behind this wonderful path of God's word, that path of His word that is a light to our feet and leads us and guides us. Every time we sin, we fail to honor that word. And it's so easy, right? Look at our life. So God's word should be the thing that empowers and wraps us up in our whole life. And yet, our lives don't say that. Passions and lusts that are against God's word. Impatience and anger that are against God's word. A word that calls us to value not gold and silver, but of all things but His word. And yet, look at the way the church goes. We fail in our devotions. We miss worship because, well, we're just too tired. We value things other than God's word above all things. And that's the brokenness of our humanity now. That word that should call us to keep us on the right path is the word that we fail on, brothers and sisters in Christ. All people. And it's a universal problem, not just you, but also all men in the true world is all man. Whether here, on the Czech Republic, or in the world, it's still that same word that all people fail to follow. Our lives don't live as you can follow. What do they do? How can we fix the problem? I mean, where do we go? Or better yet, to whom? The answer, of course, to bear the gospel. We go to Jesus. And going to Jesus is more than being near him or sitting in church. Going to Jesus means what? That we sit at his feet like any good student. That phrase, by the way, at Jesus' feet, the words of our disciples. Remember, Paul talks about sitting at the feet of Gamaliel. To sit at the feet of someone else means that you put yourself under their leadership. To sit at the feet of someone is to say, teach me, tell me what I should think, tell me what I should do. And so here in this lesson, we're called to put ourselves at his feet. And thanks be to God, brothers and sisters in Christ, we do. We're here today to sit at his feet. We're here today not because we are perfect people, but we're here today because we are broken people. Church is not a place for people who get it right. Church is where people go for those who get it wrong. Each and every one of us can't say that we have done our Lord's work perfectly. And that's where we share the service, right? The confession of absolution. God, I've not lived according to your word. And so we come here this day to receive what? We receive the word upon which we should wait all night. In the Old Testament lesson today, this, again, familiar scene of Abraham feeding the triune God as he welcomes him to his tent and to his home. But what does the Lord do? He gives Abraham a word. And that word says down in the word. When I return next year, they'll have a child. This old couple, this barren woman, these people way beyond having children and way beyond the age that I personally would have children, is the word that they wait for. Okay, God, we're trusting what you say. And that, brothers and sisters in Christ, is what we see in marriage, and it's what we see as we come before him this day. We're sitting at his feet. We're learning his word. And what does his word teach us? It teaches us this wonderful truth that no matter how sinful we are, no matter how broken we are, God's word can fix what it says because God's word has that sort of power. At the very beginning of our Bible, we see that truth. Then the creation, God's word, calling things into mind. Let there be, and there was. You know, sometimes Christians say, it's not important what the God, but it spoke your thing, spoke this world into being. You can just see that as a fairy tale. I always caution against that. Not just because, well, I'm a pastor, and if a pastor do, I caution them against that. Because falling into that trap, you leave behind Christ's word that God's plan says. For the most part, brothers and sisters in Christ, our words don't do what they say. I always point people, though, to the wonderful word that goes this way. I take you to be mine. Wife or husband, that word makes something happen. But in a greater way, God's word calls things into very being. Let there be light. Let there be sea. Let there be light in the sky. His word does what it says, and that's why we wait for it. Because it's more than just a word that we know. It's more than just a word that speaks to us about something to tell a story. His word does what it says. I was asked what sermon we should use, and I chose this one. I chose it. But as I was preparing to preach, I kept thinking about the opium in our hymnal, Thy Strong Word, by the great pastor Martin Franzman. I love the one line in the Hebrews. Thy strong word speaks us righteous. God's word speaks. And his righteousness becomes ours. You see, this is the essence of the gospel. That God doesn't just leave us our brokenness and say, well, I'll just overlook your sin. God's not that sort of God. He loves us too much to leave us in our sin. He wants us to be with him so much that he'll remove the thing that separates us from himself. And so he gives us his all-creating word. The word that called creation into being is the word that calls us into being a people of God. And that word forgives us our sin. We take confidence in that. We hear it spoken in the liturgy. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Those are not just nice words to start a service. They do what they say. Because Christ's authority is behind those words. It's not me, Dale Pastor, a really nice guy who forgives you your sins. It's by Christ's authority, it's God who speaks through the mouth of the pastor. And that word says, you are forgiven. All those broken moments of this past week, all those things that shame you and say to you that surely you can't be the child of God, all of those have been removed from you in that all-creative work of God that says you are forgiven. And indeed, it's more than said, it's what happened. God's word makes us righteous. It speaks us righteous, as that hymn said. It says it, and it happens, and therefore we, as Christians, say, Lord, please, heed me. It's so easy to look at this gospel lesson and see it in terms of what we do, okay? We should come, and we should listen, and we should do this, and this, and this, but that's not the way to look at it. It's instead that we find ourselves at Jesus' feet and say, Lord, give me what only you can give me. Impart to me your love and forgiveness and grace, and by your word, make me your own dear child. And that's what happened. Why? Because behind God's word is the very cross of Jesus. You see, God doesn't forgive us by merely waving a hand. He said, okay, we'll make it as if he had sinned. He takes our sin. He fixes it to Christ crucified. And there from the cross, Jesus said, right? It's finished. He's telling us. God's word does what it said. Because his word is that powerful word that fixes it. So what do we do? We come like Mary and say, Lord, give me the best of time. A little Greek word, the Greek words in the gospel lesson that Jesus did actually is kind of a play on words. He's saying the best part, you know, you should think about a meal. Maybe what's the best part? Maybe it's the salad. Maybe it's the hors d'oeuvre. Maybe it's the soup. Maybe it's the main dish, right? Or maybe, for many of us, it's the dessert, right? Well, Jesus is the great servant, the better servant, the part of the meal that really should make us go, yes, this is what I mean, is nothing less than his word. Jesus invite people to the table and at his table to listen, join, and pray. Today, Jesus invites you to come to the table of the Lord. Come and receive the best part. Come and receive that which you can take to the bank as we stay over here. The word on which we can wait. The word that will do what it says. The word which will never fail him. The word that promises, like Sarah, that God will do what God has promised. And what he has promised to live in that is that no matter how sinful you have been, God's word that takes away our sin also gives us the promise of a heavenly resurrection to a new life with Christ Jesus. And so we said, what? Speak the Lord, your servant listens. Hear, receive, give, give thanks and pray, and rejoice, and deem, I may learn, we are forever forgiven. Thanks be to God. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep your heart on your mind in Christ Jesus, and to life everlasting.
Amen.
Thank you. choose the easy part, but take his dearest treasure. God said to his beloved son, it's time to have compassion. Then go, bright jewel of my crown, and bring to all salvation. From sin and sorrow set them free, slay bitter death for them that they may live with you forever.
The Son obeyed his Father's will, was born of Virgin Mother, and God's good pleasure to fulfill, he came to be my brother. His royal part disguised he bore, a servant's form like mine he wore, to lead the devil captive.
This is Pastor Greg Cumbie. Thank you for listening to the weekly broadcast from Our Savior Lutheran Church in Winchester, Virginia. For more information, you can find us online at oursavior-lcms.org. We invite you to join us next Sunday at 8:30 a.m. here on News Talk 1400.